Welcome to Tales from the Witching Hour. This is our first Witching Hour recording. Not quite recorded immediately after a magical working, but fairly soon after one.
Yeah, a couple days.
So, if for those who don't know what this is, we had this crazy idea. Do you want to explain this? You came up with this idea.
Yeah, after doing a few workings, I guess would be the best word for it, you know, Corey and I would always come back and have these discussions and have these great experiences that, I mean, are pretty personal, but we still kind of wanted to share anyway, just to kind of give you guys a perspective of what we do and what we've experienced. And yeah.
And stuff and things.
And stuff and things. The end.
Yeah. So basically what we're doing is whenever we do a magical working together, we're going to try and sit down together with a microphone for a few minutes and just talk a little bit about what we specifically did, how we kind of felt about that, and how we reacted. And I don't know really if you'll get a lot from it or not, sometimes probably more than others.
Yeah, I mean, it may just be kind of like a fun thing to listen to, and it may just bore the hell out of you. And either way, that's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
We'd love to hear, you know, what you think of it.
Yeah.
But our response when we asked about doing it initially was...
It was pretty positive.
Yeah, I think something like 99 out of 100 people said they wanted to hear it.
Yeah, so. And then one person said yes with a caveat, so...
Yeah, I think it had to do with their production values. I think I had said in the poll, like, because this is not really going to be edited, it's going to be pretty straight through.
Yeah.
I'd said, if you're interested in this, we'll do this, but the production values won't be that great. And I think somebody was like, well, how good are your production values usually? It's like, well, not that great, I guess.
Gee, thanks.
But that's fine. I mean, I know that we're not fancy.
No.
We
don't put on airs.
Yeah, thank you. We don't put on airs. I'm trying to do that with my southern accent, but I failed. So yeah. Well, let's get into the actual witching hour.
Yes.
So what did we do?
What did we do?
Well, anybody who's a regular listener of the podcast knows that one of our big areas to work with is a stone chimney in the middle of a forest.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre thing. Corey just happened to stumble upon it one day, and it's obviously from a very old house, and nothing else is around it. It's just a bunch of this big wooded area that's kind of off to the side of his neighborhood, and
but it's perfect. It's like perfect for witchcraft because it's the stone chimney rising into the sky
with a few like little even spots.
That you can put stuff.
Cut out, yeah, that you could put candles or, you know, whatever you need to in there.
And then right next to it is a stone well.
Is a well, yeah. It has since run dry, but it's...
But occasionally still fills with water.
Yeah.
So.
So we go out there. We don't make a schedule of it. It turns out to be about once a month, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we really... This sounds very New Agey, but we try to wait until it kind of calls to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we don't want to abuse its nature.
Yeah, because, and I think we've said this a little bit before, but the nature of it feels very fey.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought I'd say that. We didn't expect to be working with this type of energy, but it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And in our experiences before, you know, we've gone out there and... It's when we say forest, it's not really that big, but we have a hard time finding it every single time.
Mm-hmm. And this is coming from somebody who I tramped in the woods a hell of a lot as a kid. I mean, I would go off onto, you know, 40, 50, 60 acre spreads, and I mean, there's a cave system even. And I would, you know, tie an extension cord around my waist and tie it to a tree and drop into these caves. And stupid. I clearly
did. Really?
I know. I was like 14.
You were so adventurous.
I was. But, you know, I would like go wandering through the hills. So it's not that I am inexperienced with walking through the forest. But for some reason, this place, it sounds weird. And I know nobody... You're not under any obligation to believe us, because
That's true.
Unless I were there too.
I really wouldn't. I would not believe you. But
every time we go out there, it's as though it moves.
Yeah.
And I mean, we find certain markers that we're like, okay, so there's this thing, so it's only so far from this thing. And every time we're like, but it's not there. And then we turn and all of a sudden we see, oh no, it's over there now. And so it's as though this place sort of shifts and moves of its own accord.
Yes. And again, we know how crazy that sounds, mm-hmm. but again, our experience,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, your mileage may vary. We're not expecting you to be like, oh, that's absolutely true. It's not something that, I mean, obviously, you could hear this and be like, yeah, they're just misunderstandings. It's a dark forest at night. They just don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And it's possible. It's very possible.
Yeah. We try to remain skeptical, but, you know, we're still witches.
Yeah. So, and so, then time shifts when we're out there.
Yeah. Yeah. We lose a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And the temperature is usually very different from mm-hmm. inside this one particular area where mm-hmm. the brush kind of clears away. And it's just, what is that stuff growing?
Well, it's periwinkle.
Okay. There's a lot of periwinkle.
Mm-hmm. It's a big forest carpet of periwinkle. Yeah, but weirdly, we don't really get poison ivy when we go out there.
Yeah. Knock on wood, I've never had it.
Occasionally a tick, but,
Yeah, I've had a couple ticks, but I guess it's a small price to pay, as long as I don't get, you know.
That's your blood sacrifice.
As long as I don't get Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Lyme disease or something.
Yeah. And we'll get into the temperature change in a second, because that actually has to do with what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, so this one might be a little bit longer than any of the other ones that we do, because obviously we have a lot of kind of setting up to do to get you your headspace into where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of load up, and mm-hmm. Corey had this idea that came to him of taking a mirror with a sigil on it and dropping it into the well
mm-hmm.
to sort of kind of open a doorway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to basically find a way to make this mirror something that we could then use later on to create small open gateways.
Right, from that space that we already use without having to actually go out there.
Mm-hmm. So in case there was some reason we couldn't get out there or we just needed to do something quickly, we could do that.
So... So we had the mirror, and then we had, kind of as an afterthought, Corey has a deer skull that's from that forest, correct? Mm-hmm. And a stang that we use, and some offerings.
Mm-hmm. Right. When we go to the edge of this forest, we always, there's a guardian, there's the body of a cat that, it sounds horrible if you just hear, there's a body of a cat. One day at work, I happened to come out to my parking lot, and there was this sort of mangled, mutilated, desiccated cat body, and it was just kind of sitting out there in the parking lot, and I think it actually sat there for 24 hours. I think I had seen it twice by the time I realized it had been out there, and I was like, that thing does not deserve to be just run over gravel. It you know, it looks like it lived a hard life. It needs to have a good burial. So I took it to the edge of this forest thinking, you know, this is, you know, I really want to give it a home. And this gives it a nice place to run around. So I buried it out at the edge of this forest. And then ever since then, I've just had this instinctive desire. Every time we go out there, I bring a handful of cat food and we leave it there. And it sort of acts as our guide and guardian into the forest and back out again. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, at the exact threshold of the forest, there's a doorway, a pretty clear doorway. Yeah. Formed by some trees. And so we knock at the doorway and we leave an offering, usually of cornmeal, sometimes tobacco, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of say, we're here, but we're not coming in without giving you a little something first.
Yeah.
So that sets that up.
Yeah, so we did that. We get into the forest and, again, have a hard time finding it. And harder than even normal this time. Already it was a little bit of a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it takes turning off the flashlights and then kind of
asking for help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically asking for help or just reorienting yourself with mm-hmm. where you are without anything artificial, kind mm-hmm. of. So we turn back on the flashlights and we finally find this little area, and then there's also another sort of doorway before you get to the house mm-hmm. that's in the forest, and we knock at that as well, and sometimes we'll wait for a sign to go in.
Mm-hmm. That might have been a difference this time. I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
We waited for a sign at the threshold of the forest, but then I think to actually go in the house, we did not wait for the sign this time.
And our sign is...
the bark of a dog.
A gust of wind, or...
Cry of a bird.
Yeah. And then we heard a dog. Mm-hmm. So, we entered. And, so we get there, and we get our staying set up, and Corey has this really cool way of putting the deer skull on the fork of the staying. And then he put candles into where the antlers used to be, I guess.
It was a juvenile deer, so it didn't actually have antlers. Okay. So it was actually, I think, where the base of this, it was sort of towards the base of the skull.
Okay. But, well, it looked like antlers when you put the candles.
Right, it makes it look like antlers when you put the candles there.
Lit antlers. Mm-hmm. So,
And gave him a cigar.
Yeah, well, you know, we thought tobacco would be a good offering.
Right. The particular, I mean, basically what we're doing there, if anybody follows Tradcraft, as in, like Peter Patton's Crooked Path kind of thing, or, you know, I don't want to say Tubal Cain, but some of those old, those craft traditions that sort of branched off of the Cochrane traditions and things like that. There's a specific entity that often gets referred to as like the Witch Father,
mm-hmm.
Or the Man at the Crossroads, the Man in Black, something like that. And by setting the stang up and making certain offerings and doing certain things, you're sort of inviting him to oversee the work being done out there. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what I was doing.
Yeah, so we take a puff of the cigar, basically, and you kind of, with the smoke, you breathe life into the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've actually done before. We did it last...
Yeah, I do it pretty regularly as part of an ancestral opening.
Right, but we...
This specifically, yes.
Yeah. And then there's also the tapping of the bone.
Yes.
Which you have another, like, it's from the same deer, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A femur or something.
Yeah. So, and again, it's just to kind of call the spirit there.
Mm-hmm. Just opening it up, basically.
Yeah. So we do our offerings,
mm-hmm.
Which was, oh goodness.
Into the well, we threw some cookies, which were called Ossi di Morti, which are Bones of the Dead cookies. It's an Italian cookie usually offered on All Saints or All Souls Day, which is a very dry, crumbly cookie,
mm-hmm.
made largely from nuts. And so those get offered into the well. Then we had two red apples,
yes.
And we took a bite each and then dropped those into the well as offerings.
Yes.
And then I think, do we have a liquid offering? Maybe not.
No. We did have some more tapers, taper candles, and
mm-hmm.
we lit those. It was very interesting, from the candles from the deer skull, and we were kind of playing with the idea of light and dark, and you know, white as snow, and mm-hmm. you know, and it was just kind of funny that like Corey's candle kept going out. At the mention of the, you know, the dark, and then mine was lit very mm-hmm. well at the, you know, and,
yeah. But they both went into the well.
Yes, and then mm-hmm. we tied a string, some red yarn to our mirror, and dropped it down in there, and it wasn't really working.
Yeah, it was interesting. The thing that like felt like, oh, we need to go out there and do this, and I described it to Lane, and she thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. And
I thought it would be something cool to try.
Be really, really fun. And to be fair, we haven't used the mirror since empowering it, so it very possibly will work
did
just
work,
fine.
Right, but it just didn't have the.
There was no zing to it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times when we go out there, like the things we do, it's like, oh my god, that just came out of nowhere, and that totally zing. And this one is like, well, that was. That worked exactly as planned. Okay.
Yeah, moving on.
Yeah, but then by moving on, we were trying to let the mirror have some time in the well, and so we went over and stood by the stang, and it was something very palpable happened there.
Yeah, the shadow from the candles, it was moving in the wind, but...
But it wasn't moving, like, it looked as though it were moving sort of of its own accord against the way the light from the candles was moving at times.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. It was just a It was weird.
And so that started it. We're like, okay, it feels like something's going on here.
Yeah.
Then you started sensing things from out in the forest.
Well, we kept hearing all, you know, like footsteps and little things moving, and we heard like a big screech of a bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just felt like there was something like against this large, far tree, kind of peeking out. And honestly, like, I was pretty freaked out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But Corey has talked a lot about witchcraft being conquering your own fears. And I will definitely admit I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of what, but I guess the whole experience maybe. Mm-hmm. Just like the feeling I was getting from the forest. And, you know, any skeptics might say partially that of our own making.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't going to admit it. I wasn't going to say, Corey, I am freaked out. So I just kind of stood there with my head down and waited for it to pass. And it was so bizarre because I felt this. It got warmer, first of all. Like, mm-hmm. It was like just this warm gust of wind. It is not warm right now. It's pretty cold out.
Mm-hmm. But not so cold as to be able to see your breath. I need to emphasize that.
Yes, we were not yet seeing our breath. And it just got warm, and there was just like a weight was lifted, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm better now. Like, something's telling me it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the sky got brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey was like, oh, we better not be dawn.
Right. This goes back to the losing time thing. Right. We hadn't been out there long enough for that. I was sure, but at the same time, the sky did start getting lighter. And okay, so the seeing our breath thing, the reason I wanted to emphasize that is actually just before this.
Yes. Sorry, I've skipped ahead.
On the way through walking up to the forest, coming into the forest, it's chilly out. I admit that. We had not seen our breath. It still hasn't really been cold enough most days for us to see our breath on a regular basis. We get out there and we get into the space. We're still not seeing our breath. As we're standing and waiting, we start noticing this shadow. We start feeling this very palpable sense that something is there. I start sensing that there is something standing right behind me at mm-hmm. times. And
this is when I'm freaking out.
Yeah, and this is while she's freaking out. As this is happening, anytime we breathe, all of a sudden our breath is visible. It is icy cold.
And we're getting, like, these gusts of cold wind on us. And it's like someone just opened a refrigerator on us. When,
yes.
You know, we're already out in the cold, and it's just bitter cold.
Yeah, it was just like a sudden drop. And mm-hmm. it was cold enough that it went from not seeing breath to seeing breath very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And then, like she said, at some point, it all just kind of kicked off, warmed right back up, we stopped seeing our breath.
It was fine.
And you know, even after we left, you know, it was cooler after we left that space, but it still wasn't cold enough to see our breath.
Oh, one other thing I want to talk about, again, sorry, we're skipping a little bit here, but we've never done this before, so bear with us. we were offering, mm-hmm. offerings to,
basically the Stang.
Yeah, the skull, yeah, the cookies, the tobacco.
Some more tobacco. I did some cornmeal.
Yeah, we did some cornmeal, and it didn't feel like enough. And one thing that I've always done, I don't know where I got it from or whatever, but anyway, one thing I do sometimes is kind of offer a piece of myself, and I'll pluck a piece of my hair, or yeah, I guess that's the easiest thing to do,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of, you know, put it on the fire if there is one, or the altar or whatever.
Right.
Just to sort of show, you know, I'm subservient to you, kind of.
Right.
That's not the right word, but...
Not groveling, but in other words, that you're showing deference to this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yes. that's a great word. Thank you, yeah. So we did that, and it did get better after that, it felt like.
Yeah, that was where things started to sort of turn around. It was as though, I think I say this in another place, in another episode even, we were placating but not appeasing.
Yes.
It was accepting what was being offered, but it wasn't as though we were ever really happy about it.
Yeah, and again, this was just a different energy and maybe even entity that we've never encountered there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it was the night that we went.
Mm-hmm.
It being so close to Halloween and all that.
Could be that. I mean, it could also be that it's just, you know, that's what happened to be out there at the time.
Yeah, or it's changing along with us.
Oh, and then, of course, it's worth saying that, you know, after we left, we did lose just a little bit of time. It wasn't as significant as it normally is.
Right.
The whole experience being slightly different. We found our way back fairly easily this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not difficult to get out of there.
So we pull the mirror out of the well and, mm-hmm. you know, pack up and make sure everything's kind of as we left it.
And as we're walking home, do you remember what we heard?
You're forgetting the feather.
Oh, yes. Okay, we gotta get to that.
Okay. So we're leaving and, we're both just kind of shining our flashlight around, making sure there's no wild animal around us, because it has happened before. Mm-hmm. We've come right up on a deer. When Corey thought it was a coyote and and jumped to my rescue and scared it off. So anyway, we're shining the flashlights around, and there's this thing, like, poking out of the side of the chimney. And Corey and I both thought it was, like, a bone, because mm-hmm. it was...
Very white.
Yeah, it was very white. It was in this, you know, like a, kind of like a rib bone shape, is mm-hmm. how I would imagine it. And I was just like, what is that? And so, turned our flashlight on it, and it was a feather sticking out of this side of the chimney. So I go to climb up there to grab it, and it was really stuck in there. And it was, it felt like it had been placed there, you mm-hmm. know, like it wasn't, it couldn't have just fallen in there.
Right. The only natural phenomenon that could have embedded that feather far enough between those stones that I can think of is a tornado.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
And it was possible. Big feather too. Right. It was.
It's a raptor feather.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's possible that it could have somehow got embedded there by some other set of circumstances. I'm not denying that, you know, the laws of physics, gravity, and wind conspire to make this happen, but it's awfully odd.
Yes, definitely. So, and it just, it felt very pointed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we walk back, and we're out of the forest finally, and find our way back fairly easily this time. A lot easier than we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And
as we're about halfway back home, all of a sudden,
first of all, we're not seeing our breath again, and we're like warmed up and walking fast.
Yeah,
so no breath.
Yeah, it's nice and warm again. And as we're walking about halfway back home, all of a sudden we hear just this chorus of yowls and howls coming from out in the forest where we just were.
Yeah.
Of coyotes just howling and barking. And, you know, again, bark of a dog is a big thing for us mm-hmm. as a symbol. But at the same time, like, that's a very intense thing to be hearing. Especially when you're not quite home yet.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, power walking.
Yeah. But it was just such an interesting experience. And again, like, that was not the most, like, over-the-top, crazy, witchy thing that we've ever experienced. It was just right. a lot of, like, interesting... It was actually more interesting because it was so different than things we've experienced.
Right, right. And,
And now you got a feather.
Yeah, now I have a feather that I don't know what to do with, but I'm sure I'll find something.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think, what was your sort of walk-away impression of that night?
Sort of reinforcing, like, what our last episode was about, and be careful what you're calling. You know, because it was different than what we worked with before. It felt a little bit darker, a little bit mm-hmm. scarier.
Yes. She says last episode, that may actually be next episode. I'm not quite sure which is going to be released first, this or the episode. But either way, yes, there's an episode about which she is speaking.
Yes, about, you know, spiritual etiquette. And anyway, I don't, what was yours? How did you feel?
I was disappointed because the well thing, which had really, like, popped into my mind so clearly and cleanly that I was like, this has to be, you know, must be ordained by, yeah. you know, yeah. this has been given to me, I have to do this thing.
Yeah.
And it totally had its, like, fairy tale element to it, and I think, you know, the mirror may yet prove to be useful, but absolutely disappointed with the lack of kind of witchy that I'd expected to come out of that, and it didn't. Mm-hmm. So, but then the fact that something else kind of came out of it, that's something that I think I'm learning about that space, if not about magic in general, which is that sometimes the unexpected side of things is the more magical side of things. Yeah. When you're not, when you, you can have intention and you can have desire to do certain types of magic, but in the end, those may not be what you actually get. You may get something very different, but I don't know, it just comes down to this sense of, like, whatever you get, it probably will be what you need.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, pretty amazing because of that.
Yes. So I guess that's it for the first one.
Yeah.
Just as a closing, I kind of want to reiterate, this is very personal to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, we realize how some of it sounds, and,
mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, we don't just go blindly in and think, oh, everything that happens is a sign, and everything's...
I do. I assume everything.
Well, we're not... This is basically like a follow-up saying, we ain't crazy.
Right. But at the same time, I mean, we're not expecting everyone to believe these experiences are absolutely true.
Not to say that they aren't from our experience, but if you... they're hard to believe.
They're hard to believe, and there probably are rational explanations for every single thing we've said, and that's fine.
It's how we choose to interpret it.
Right, exactly. It's kind of the same way we deal with the folklore, is, they can be nice stories.
Really good point.
They can be just lovely stories, or they can have some deeper meaning. And because of how we've encountered these things, they have deeper meaning for us.
Right. And not to say that you have to believe that. You can just think it's kind of nice to hear about. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're really asking is...
You can even sit there and go, these jokers don't know what they're doing. They're wandering in the forest at night. They're going to be eaten by a bear. And our next episode will be brought to you inside of a bear.
Welcome to New World Return.
Anyway, we've gotten giddy and silly.
Yes, it's very late, so...
But we appreciate your indulgence. We hope this has been a good little mini-episode for you. If you have any questions, please feel free to email us at compassandkey@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Or there'll be a little blog post with the audio here, and you can leave us a comment and sit on newworldwitchery.com.
Yeah, so... I don't know, we don't have a clever sign-off for this.
Oh, we don't.
Yeah.
Until the next witching hour.
Good night.